my most amazing RTK podcast family. How are you doing? Oh my goodness. So you guys, I just got back from Hawaii. I went on a family vacation with my family. It was so incredible. So my family always goes on family vacations, like forever, and I never got to go. Well, for the beginning parts of my married life, we lived in another city, another state, and I was just caught up in my marriage with my son's father, and y'all know I was married to him for 18 years, and so I just never really went on vacation. And then in 2006, when I got divorced, of course, I was retail and I had to work. So I didn't go then because I was in retail, and they always went around the summer or holiday, and I was always working in retail and could never get off. So my kids always went on vacation with them, and I never got to go. Single mom stuff, you know. And so at 50 years old, I'll be 50 years old in 2 weeks, like actually 9 days. And I finally got to go on vacation in Hawaii with them. And it was kind of bittersweet because we took my dad's ashes and spread some of his ashes there. That was his favorite vacation. And man, it was so wonderful. We were there for 8 days. That was a little long, just being honest, because I love my life. I love my life. And so going on vacation is, you know, I get to travel every single week. And I'm living the life. I'm living the dream. And so it was just like I was on a, you know, on a trip. But it was so wonderful. We went hiking. Man, I ain't never hiked so much in my life. I throw my tennis shoes, let my hair down. We didn't have Wi-Fi the entire time we were there, which was, I thought, going to be torture, but it ended up being a blessing because we all just hung out together all the time. So it was really wonderful. Anyway, I'm home. And for all of you that are crying because you never get to go on vacation, neither did I. And this is just a season, not a sentence. Just stop being sad about where you're at and start finding a way to get to the dream so that you can go on vacation, right? Being sad ain't going to do nothing. There's no money in your feelings. So you got to get out and you got to start building a future and you got to start doing what you love so that you ain't running away from your life every year because you hate your life. Yeah, deal, go build your life. That's basically what I'm saying. All right, y'all. So today I really felt like I get asked this a lot, this topic. I get asked a whole lot about spiritual warfare. A lot of people are always blaming everything either on the devil or God, their circumstances. And in reality, most of us are going through what we're going through because of our choices. Yeah, you heard me. Most of us are going through hell because we saw red flags and we still got married. God always gives us checks in our spirits. And most of the time we think that we can fix it. You know, we think that it'll change when we get married, or it'll change once we get a better job, or it'll change once we make more money. And so we live our life running to something better, and it never gets better because really something's going on inside of us that we need to fix, right? And instead of facing it and fixing it, we just keep on piling crap on and pushing it further down in our spirits. And then before long, we have nervous breakdowns or depression hits us, or we become an addict to alcohol because we need something to suppress us and numb us to our reality. And so I want to talk to you about spiritual warfare because it's real, but you ain't got to be scared of it. You just got to know what to do with it, you know, especially if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal savior. If you have repented of your sins and made a commitment to walk a new life, right? If you have answered yes to the Lord, then you probably are in the middle of the greatest battle taking place on earth right now. And the battle is a spiritual battle. And you are you're going to be under attack. Even if you're not saved, you're still going to be under attack because the Bible says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. In that September 11th, big old tall buildings, the World Trade Centers, there were some amazing people in that building that died that day because they just happened to be at the wrong place when stupid men, women, angry people drove a plane through it. And a lot of people died that day. But the Bible just says the rain falls on the just. And we live in a fallen world. We live with a lot of mean people. I live in Atlanta, and I cannot believe how many people are just getting shot every day. It's just like people are just angry. And so, you know, you're gonna be under attack. You're gonna walk through divorce. Some of y'all never saw yourself divorced, and here you are in the middle of it. At some point, you gotta realize this is just life. But I can get up and move forward because Jesus lives in me, and the Bible says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. And I got the power to get up out of this thing. It might hurt like hell, but I got the power. And so you are under attack because when you become a Christian, Satan and his demonic forces place you at the top of his hit list. You know, 1 Peter 5:8 states, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so let's analyze that. Let's analyze two main aspects of the spiritual war that we are in. First, we need to identify how it is that Satan attacks us. And second, what can we do to neutralize his attacks? So basically, in order for us to understand how Satan attacks, we must first understand his character, really lack thereof, and his mindset. Let's look at this. Let's see what makes him tick, all right? He is covetous and wants God's position. That's what he wants. That's why he's in hell. Hell was created to confine, to quarantine the devil and his stupid angels that went to hell with him. He was that cunning that he turned all of these angels into his workers because he's cunning. He wants God's position. Isaiah 14:13-14 says, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He's a murderer. He's a liar. And he is incapable of telling the truth. John 8:4-4 says, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it, right? He has the ability to masquerade as a messenger from God. No wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into a light, into an angel of light. That's 1 Corinthians 11:14. He is also a being that is literally insane. Anyone who thinks that they can supplement God has to be insane. So when you analyze these components of Satan's character, you have to realize that rules are off limits to him. If he were a boxer, he would hit you below the belt. He will do anything he can to take you away from the relationship with Jesus Christ. So Satan has almost unlimited avenues of how he can attack us. All of them are centered in falsehood. All right. So let's examine a few. Let me break this so down for you that you're like, oh my God, I've been letting this stupid devil attack me and I had all the power to just kick him in the teeth. Genesis 3:1 states, well, number one, he's a lie. The lie, you know, in Genesis 3:1 states, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden. God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So we're looking at Genesis 3:1 all the way down to verse 5. He's showing us how he started in the garden, right? We're fallen because of Adam and Eve, right? The serpent in this passage of scripture is telling several lies, but the one that is the most devious is in verse 5, when Satan tells Adam and Eve that they can be like or equal to God. So basically, in other words, they have no need for God and that they are the only authority that they need in their lives. So this attitude has all but permeated our society today. It is known as secular humanism. Secular humanism is defined as an outlook or philosophy that advocates human rather than religious values. So a person that holds this philosophy really has no basis of how to live their lives. If we only advocate human values, then the only determining factor of those values are those which each individual holds. So basically, it then begins an I'm okay, you're okay mindset. So the Christian faith has defined laws and guidelines to follow. And these laws help to maintain a decent and civil society. But secular humanism, or the lie, only leads to the eventual death and destruction of the society that adheres to its beliefs. You know where it starts? Music, entertainment, right? Y'all, Western civilization and much of the rest of the world have become enamored with entertainment. So to the point that the average American spends between 5 to 6 hours a day watching TV, movies, internet, streaming Netflix series, listening to music. And entertainment in itself is not a bad thing. And even if all of our entertainment was wholesome and virtuous, to immerse ourselves in any form of escapism is not healthy. But the problem with our entertainment is that it has become so perverse. I was reading, because I'm so intrigued with this kind of stuff, just watching as God, our Gen Zs and our millennials and just how everybody, they don't even know Jesus, right? And so I was reading about it, and I read about Stephen Bonnata. It was a magazine I was reading on the plane. And it stated this: little wonder that after decades of having pro-abortion, pro-everything, and they're sneaking it into, you know, our TVs and our movies and anything goes. Now, even children are being recognized as they. Not him, not her, they. And it's almost like it's become popular, you know, like even one of my ladies that I mentor, her daughter, she's 12 and struggling with if she likes women, if she likes boys or girls at 12. And number one, that is just horrid that we got already at 12. I was playing with Barbie dolls. And now we've put so much just sneaking it into Disney movies, sneaking it into, you see, women and men having sex and all this stuff at such a young age are sneaking in it everywhere. Sin, the devil, roams like a roaring lion. He's got ways to sneak into your lives. He always sneaks in through whatever hidden sins we have in our lives that we never took care of. And he sneaks in those gaps and tries to take us out. And he's doing it to our kids. And because we are also tired because we're trying to pay $12 gas prices and we're working like dogs to pay our bills, we're not watching our kids, right? We're letting TV do it. And here the enemy is sneaking in all of these places. And so we're basically finding entertainment to fill these voids and help us escape our worries, our fears. We're not going to church anymore. The last few years, they shut our churches down. Now people are just sitting at home watching TV. It ain't the same. It ain't the same. We're not even putting God first anymore. Now it's everything but God until we need him, right? So to try and find entertainment that is godly and uplifting is a challenge. So when you combine our addiction to entertainment with this increasing moral depravity, you begin to see what a powerful indoctrination tool that Satan has at his disposal. Direct spiritual attacks. Hollywood portrays demonic activity in a very unbiblical manner. They are often shown to have limitless power and are on an equal footing with God. However, based on personal experience and what is written in the Bible, I believe there are three main ways which we are directly attacked by the demonic world, y'all. Influence. Number one is influenced. And this really appears to be the most common attack. It is something that everyone experiences at one time or another. Have you ever had a thought pop into your head and wonder, where did that even come from? Satan does have the ability to influence our minds. And that's how you have panic attacks. That's why you have stress. That's why you have this whole conspiracy theory built in your head that ain't even gonna ever happen. Waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, feeling like the freaking world's falling apart and there's nothing you can do about it. Satan has the ability to influence our minds. And if we have our guards down, there are several examples of this in the Bible. Acts 5:3, 1 Chronicles 21 and 1, John 13 and 2. His influence may actually manifest itself in a more physical form as well, right? Yo, I've talked to several people who have awoken up in the middle of the night with an evil presence that was on their chest, making it hard for them to even breathe or pulling on their leg. Yeah, I've even walked into a room and feel the evil spirit being in that room, almost so much that you could see it. So influenced is number one. Number two is demonized. Right, this idea is almost it's a step between being influenced and possessed. It is where people hear voices and begin to do things without knowing why. They still are somewhat in control of their lives, but they tend to be in a constant state of confusion, worry, doubt. Several Christian psychologists even believe that most mental illnesses fall into this category. Yeah, and if you feel like this is you, y'all, listen, there are two incredible books that deal with this topic that you should read. If you feel like you're being demonized or, you know, you're hearing voices. I mean, I know Christians that will say it's God telling them just junk. I'm thinking, baby, no, this is you got a demon. God ain't got no point. And I mean, they literally think songs are being written about them. And no, they're not. That is a devil. That is a devil roaming to and fro. But here are two books, okay? One of the books is The Bondage Breaker and Victory. The Bondage Breaker is one book, and Victory Over Darkness is a second book. And it's by Neil T. Anderson. And this will help you deal with this these things in your head. Number three is Possession. This attack apparently gives its victim very little control over what they do, right? It is almost like they become a puppet to a master, right? And several examples in the Bible are found about this possession. You can look for it in Matthew 9:32-33, Matthew 12, verse 22, Matthew 17 and 18. You can look in Mark 5:1-20, then Mark 7:26-30, Luke 4:33-36, Luke 22:3, Acts 16:16-18. Here's another one, overcoming Satan. Satan can be, God, he's an idiot. He is a being on a different plane of existence. And he is capable of doing things that we cannot imagine. How then can we defeat him? You ready for this? Have the correct means to fight him. Yeah, have the correct means to fight him. Now he can't touch you unless you give him the power. You know, I love Ephesians 6:11-17. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So y'all, this passage of scripture is almost always quoted when discussing spiritual warfare, but let's make sure we do not diminish its significance. It is God and his strength alone that will help us defeat Satan. So we are instructed to use aspects of our Christian walk in the same manner that a soldier would use garments to protect himself in war. Just as we wouldn't expect to walk and fight a Sherman tank in our pajamas, we cannot expect to fight Satan and his minions without effective prayer, without Bible study, without fasting. And you got to remember that we would not need this armor if it wasn't possible for Satan to attack and hold us hostage in our minds, in our hearts. Here's number two. You got to know the tactics of the enemy. Jesus tells us in Matthew 10:16, "Behold, I send you out as a sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." So basically, in other words, we should understand how our enemy works, but not be partakers in his behavior. We need to remember that Satan is a deceiver, a murderer. He speaks no truth. He speaks half-truth and does not follow rules. His pursuit of us will never end. So we need to be on guard and understand how much, right, he is roaming to and fro. And we need to understand where his attacks come from. You know, Ephesians 6:11-17 says, "Be careful of your surroundings." Man, I can recall a story I heard one time of a preacher in the 1800s. And so he went to New Orleans to help convert the drunks and the prostitutes. So he decided to live on Bourbon Street, dumb, right in the middle of all the action. And within several months, his behavior had become just like those all around him. Y'all, it is important for us to realize that we cannot stay immersed in sinful environments. If your job, school, or even church is a place that is like that, you may want to consider going elsewhere. Because as Christians, we should want to help those who are lost and living in sin, but we cannot get in the middle of them. We need to be careful that it does not overcome us. And since we are constantly under attack by the tempter, we should never put ourselves in the constant attack of temptation. Right? Much like ancient Israel, we as Christians need to learn to rely upon the strength of God's hand, of our own power. And we need to do nothing to stop. We can do nothing to stop the onslaught of the evil that is at our door every day. Satan and his demons hold sway over much of humanity. And it is possible for us to fall under that sway as well. You ain't no superhuman, right? We need to put God as our first and only line of defense. And we will fight these spiritual battles. He is going to. He's going to fight them. If we encounter an evil spirit as a person possessed, maybe you live with them, possessed, we can command the evil spirit to leave in the name of Jesus. Y'all, I've had people in the middle of my meeting start, and I'll look right at that devil and I'll be like, "Stop it. God is a God of order. Stop it." Because I ain't scared. I know how to fight the punk devil. You have no reason to be scared. We have the power to speak to a thing and it has to leave. If we're having personal encounters or being influenced, we can pray for God to fight the battle. The war that we are involved will not stop until Jesus Christ returns. So let us remember that we have nothing to fear if we put God first and make him our defense, because it is in him and him alone that we are victorious in this spiritual fight. So you know what? You got this. You might be fighting spirits. You might be living with the devil and pretending you're happy, but you have the power to fight. You can go, you can get you some Crisco. You can get you some new living oil, whatever you got. Pray a prayer, anoint that oil. Say, Father, I anoint this oil as I walk through my house. I pray that the anointing of this oil, you pray anointing on that normal oil. And then walk around your house and pray. Walk around your house and take back the power. Don't you let no punk devil or its little imps trouble you. The devil's under your feet. So today, you know, because I just told you, how to fight spiritual warfare. Now you stop living defeated. You're not a defeated foe. You're an overcomer. You will always have things to fight because this is human. We're human. We live in a fallen world. But you have Jesus living in you. And I want you, if you're listening to this today and you're like, Kim, I don't know if I know Jesus. Maybe you're backslidden. Maybe you had a bad experience at church. And now all of a sudden you're just like, I don't even know if I'm saved. I want you to repeat this prayer with me. Say, Father. Yep, repeat it. Father, forgive me of my sins. I ask you to live inside of my heart, and I repent of anything that I've ever done that made you less important in my life. Give me the wherewithal to stand strong, to be courageous, to be a world changer, to be a light in this dark world. Thank you, Father, that I'm your favorite. And I say yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. There you go. Now, welcome to the family of God. Now, baby, you got the power. You hear me? You got the power to fight anything you need to fight. You got the power to lay hands on yourself and begin to tell yourself to get right. You have the power to tell your mind to be renewed in the name of Jesus. All right. I love you guys so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Y'all, you can find out all you want to know about me by going to my website right now. Go right now to realtalkkim.com and subscribe to my website. You can also go get my free app, which I send out notifications throughout the day. I even remind you to pray. My app is Real Talk Kim. You can go download Real Talk Kim app. And go to your Google Play Store, your Apple Store. I also pastor a great church right here in Atlanta, Georgia, 1653 Highway 85 South, Fayetteville, Georgia, 30215. Every Sunday, 10 and 1130, I'm in that building preaching. And I would love to have you come be a part of one of our services, or you can stream them online. We do everything. We bring you right in. I stream online at 11:30 on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So y'all, be a part of my life. Go download my app and get in my RTK inner circle. Y'all, I am a mentor, and I will help you get your life back. I will help you get unstuck, and I will always lead you to Jesus. So go get my inner circle, RTK inner circle. Go right now to realtalkkim.com. Get my inner circle and let me help you live a victorious life. I love you guys so, 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 so much. And thank you for sharing this podcast with somebody. Somebody needs to know, man. Sometimes you don't need therapy. Sometimes you just need doggone deliverance. And that's what this teaching was about today, how to help you get dominion. All right. I love y'all. I will see you next week. Love you so much.